And good morning, everybody. Glad you're with us this morning on this Friday, the 1st of August, here on Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. The first Friday of the month means that it's time for our monthly movie mayhem. And this month, we have circled the globe to track down our intrepid movie mavens. Anne Hornaday, the film critic for The Washington Post, joins us from her ancestral home in Des Moines, Iowa. Anne, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. I'm imagining something like, you know, Blenheim Castle, you know, where Winston Churchill grew up. Do I have this about right?
Family pile. No, nothing grand. It's just beautiful here. It's unbelievably temperate for August in Iowa. I am thrilled to report.
Very good. Good to hear. And thank you for taking your time away from your family to join us this morning.
You.
And Jed Dietz joins us as well. He's, of course, the director of the Maryland Film Festival. And as always, he spends the first week of August, the intrepid naturalist that he is, camped in a pup tent in the woods in Martha's Vineyard, you know, drinking water from the stream and eating pieces of bark and taking time out from that great endeavor to join us for the movie mayhem. Hey, Jed, how you doing?
Good. I did have to fight through a flock of wild turkeys to get here.
There you go. You know, but that's the kind of dedication that we admire, respect, and appreciate. So, Anne, I want to start with a film that people can get on demand. They can find it on Fandor. It's called My America, and this is a project that was generated by Kwame Kwe Arma when he took over as the director of Center Stage here in Baltimore. So for the 50th anniversary, they commissioned a group of playwrights and artists to create these sort of short monologues that answered the question, who are you, America? And this has now been collated into a film by Hal Hartley. How's it hold up as a film?
Oh, it was fascinating. And it, like you said, these are very short monologues. They're usually about 3 or 4 minutes tops. And they've staged them very simply, usually kind of in a bare-bones room. Some of them are accompanied by a sound design element that might give you a clue to where it's happening. So in one of the pieces, it's a store clerk giving his impressions of the ethnic changes that his neighborhood had been going through, and that's accompanied by sort of the sounds of the store. But usually it's just the actor and the words. And you know, I can't even remember now how many pieces that are in this omnibus, but
21, I think.
Is that, yeah? And you know, some are better. You know, there are a few clunkers, but for the most part, they're really fascinating, really galvanizing, and they kind of accumulate into a very powerful experience that ends with a magnificent piece featuring Kathleen Chalfant that's just mesmerizing. And it also, I just would love to put a plug in for Fandor, because this is a site that's kind of like Netflix for the rest of us, and it's being overseen by a guy named Ted Hope, who's a fixture, long time, venerated fixture on the independent film community. And it's a membership. You subscribe and you really get access to some wonderful, wonderful work. So I encourage people to check it out.
And Jed, you serve on the board of directors of Center Stage, and I remember when these monologues were introduced in September of 2012, before the 2012-13 season, I guess. Some of them were done live in a performance for an audience at Center Stage, and then in other instances, they ran the tape of, I remember Tracy Toms had one, and there were a bunch of really great people, and they were so beautifully, so well-received when we saw them for that very first time a couple of years ago. But I guess you as well think that they hold up pretty well when they're collated into this film.
Yeah, it's remarkable, these 21 pieces out of the 50, and I agree with everything Anne said. The other thing I would point out about Fandor is, and this film director, Hal Hartley, so it's just fascinating because he has had this career that goes back couple decades, and he was really the darling of the independent film world when he first hit with movies like Trust and Henry Fool, and he has continued a career that involves lots of experimentation, both artistically and in distribution. And this Fandor is, you know, in this partnership with Center Stage and these wonderful playwrights. I mean, you're talking, you know, Neil LaBute and Christopher Durang. I mean, Lynn Nottage. I mean, they're really, there's emerging playwrights too, but major writers that have participated in these pieces. And Hal Hartley, interestingly enough, Toronto Film Festival is one of the major market festivals, has just announced its lineup, and his newest film, Ned Rifle, is going to be in the Toronto lineup. So it's many wonderful pictures. It's thrilling theatrical stuff, and it's really thrilling from a film standpoint, because this is what's happening now in film, which we've talked about before in the air, of these careers being formed in very different ways than they just weren't even possible a few years back.
Yeah, sure. Well, we commend Kwame Kwarma and the folks at Center Stage for the conception of this idea, and delighted that people can see this work online at your leisure. Good luck to Mr. Hartley and the folks at Fandor for continuing this. And I want to talk to you also about the new Woody Allen movie. You interviewed Mr. Allen for the Post last week. How are Mr. Allen's spirits these days? This is his 47th movie. It's called Magic in Moonlight. And he's already well underway into the next one, isn't he?
You bet. I mean, this is his MO lately. It's a very reliable film a year. He's settled into this incredible rhythm of just work. And again, inevitably with that kind of an output and that kind of a production schedule, some are going to be stronger than others. And I wouldn't put this in his, you know, the absolute strongest category, but I found it really enjoyable. And the reason why I interviewed him, I mean, you know, I actually, Judd and I happened to see the movie at the same screening, which was on a Monday night. And the movie deals with a lot of his cardinal themes. You know, there's a magician and there's an incipient love story. But in this case, there's a lot of talk about, it centers around this psychic, played by Emma Stone, who may or may not be faking, and a wealthy family has taken her under their wing, and a magician played by Colin Firth is enlisted to come in and debunk her. And in the course of his encounter with her, he starts to have doubts as to whether or not she might actually be able to connect with the other world. And so then it starts to engage all of these perennial Woody Allen questions about God and belief and faith. And in this case, you know, he's a famous lifelong skeptic and atheist and deeply critical of organized religion. But this movie I just found to be a little more yielding and a little bit more gentle-natured, to the point where I thought, I wonder if he's changing. And so I called up the people with the movie and said, is he talking? And they said, sure, come on up. And so that was really the focus of my conversation with him, and I guess I'm here to report that no, he hasn't changed a bit. He's every bit as skeptical and as, you know, anti-organized religion and everything about it. And I said, well, gee, I was sort of detecting a little bit of a give here, and he said, no, that was purely because this is a romantic comedy, and it was the genre that called for that tone, not any kind of philosophical change of heart that he had undergone. But it was a delightful conversation. He's a wonderful person to speak with, and I always enjoy my time with him.
Yeah, your piece was terrific, and you got he said a great quote that you ended your piece with. He said, it's the job of the artist, I think, to try and figure out how to get through life knowing that the worst is true. And if ever there were a great Woody Allen quote, it's that.
I know.
That's really something.
I mean, it is. It's almost like you think it's almost shtick, but it's not. I mean, he really has given this stuff a lot of. And of course, so says a man who's just literally surrounded. You know, I met him at his house, which is just a beautiful place in Manhattan. You know, you could hear the happy sounds of family in the background. I mean, he's really made. You know, he's obviously quite blissful in terms of his domestic life. He said, you know, when I said, how did you like this one? He's like, oh, I never, you know, he said, you know me, I'm never happy. I mean, I think he's always, I don't think he's ever quite entirely comfortable with what he's created as an artist, but I would say that he's a pretty happy guy in terms of his life and where he's gotten to. But, you know, he is suffused with this sort of existential doubt.
And Jed, you've seen the movie Magic and Moonlight. What's your take?
And I would just first say, if Woody Allen isn't happy, he's insane. But I think this movie is really a miss. I think both Colin Firth and Emma Stone, who I love, are either miscast or were given so little direction that they don't have anywhere near as much fun with their characters as they should have. You get a little glimpse of what could have happened with Eileen Atkins, this marvelous stage actor. all that said, you know, it's gorgeous to look at. It's shot on the Riviera. The flowers are beautiful. The clothes are beautiful. Emma Stone's beautiful. I just thought it had no energy and should have had. I agree with that, with what Anne said, because I think that's what the movie should have done, and it just doesn't get there. It was interesting reading Anne's piece about the things that surround him in his life, which are wonderful. Because I'm reading the Elia Kazan's letters, and there's this whole colloquy he has back and forth with Tennessee Williams in the late 40s. So they've hit it sort of big on Broadway, but haven't yet hit it big in the movies. Both of them hit it very big in the movies eventually. But Kazan and Tennessee Williams are already worrying about being surrounded by too much and it distracting them from their art. And I frankly think that's happened to Woody Allen.
Yeah, well, you know, he's within spitting distance of 50 movies in 50 years. You know, it's
amazing.
Quite amazing. Yeah.
And some of them just stunning. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know. I would be a little more general. I did feel like this had energy, and I thought they were both terrific. I mean, I thought there was a lot of fizz there, and I adored Firth's performance too. I mean, it was the typical kind of Woody Allen alter ego character, but sort of extruded through the Britishisms and kind of inherent Noel Coward-y persona of Firth, and it kind of created a whole new creature. So I found it to be a little bit more energized and animated than Jed did.
But. Well, clearly one of you is dead wrong, and to find out the answer who that is, come to our website, WYPR.org, and producer Jamila Kay will decide. That's how we're gonna work this out, all right? If that's
good.
Okay with you. Jed Dietz from the Maryland Film Festival, Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post joining us for the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem segment here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. Anne, let's talk about a movie called Happy Christmas. It's directed by Joe Swanberg. Anna Kendrick, Melanie Linsky, Mark Weber, and Lena Dunham is in it. So this is a kind of a almost 20-something saga, evidently, about somebody who moves in with a writer and her husband who's a filmmaker and their little kid, and they sort of, you know, find themselves. Good movie?
Oh, yeah, it's delightful. And you buried the lead. I mean, the star of the movie is a gentleman named Jude Swanberg, who is, I think, 2 years old and absolutely steals it. He's Joe's real-life son, who plays his baby in the movie, and talk about fizz and energy and charisma. I mean, he's the most, it's uncanny, this performance by this child. But Anna Kendrick plays Joe Swanberg's character's sister, who does move in after a heartbreak, and it's over the Christmas holiday, and she's 20, I think in her mid-20s, and she's drinking too much and doing too many other recreational substances, and her life is not together, and of course, the family with whom she's living is trying to get their life off the ground. So it's all about the kind of dynamics between them. And Joe, you know, we were talking about Fandor and Hal Hartley earlier, and Joe Swanberg is another example of a filmmaker who's really carved out this amazing career, both in the way he creates his films and then the way he gets them seen. And on demand, VOD have a lot to do with that too. But it's just he's really perfecting a style of kind of improvised naturalism. It feels very intimate, very real. I mean, my only quibble with this one is that I felt like it was a little unfinished. I mean, it didn't feel 100% fully realized to me. It's a little wispier and unresolved than I would usually feel comfortable with. But
sorry to interrupt, Dan, but we just have a couple seconds left. So, Jed, let me have you weigh in on Happy Christmas as well, just real quick.
I agree with Anne. Joe's been at the festival a lot. Actually, Jude, the 2-year-old star of this movie, has been at the festival a lot.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I've seen him there.
Yeah.
Kids and dogs. And never work with kids and dogs. First rule of show.
Well, except in this case. This is really fantastic. And the sibling from hell story is pretty amazing.
Well, thanks to you both. Good to talk to you. Thanks for taking time out from your time away from the area to be with us on the Movie Mayhem. Appreciate it. Have a good one. We'll see you next month. That's it for us today. We've got links to information about upcoming events that the Maryland Film Festival is putting on, as well as links to Anne Hornaday's reviews and essays in the Washington Post. Come to WYPR.org/Maryland Morning. Thanks to Charlie Esposito for his help from Martha's Vineyard. And thanks to you for joining us. Coming up Monday morning, our resident foodie, Sasha Wohlhandler, will stop by with a list of the 10 things that you must eat before this summer ends. We'll see you Monday morning here on Maryland Morning. Until then, I'm Tom Hall. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.